You know, it was Christmas in July.
July 25th, 1978, to be exact.
I'm not mic'd up. You changed the schedule. I got to stand up here. I got to be stoic. That's going to be hard for me not to move until we get this fixed. All right. Christmas in July. July 25th, 1978, to be exact. A new tiny little girl entered the world by the name of Louise Brown. And she was an unusual baby because she was the first ever test tube baby. And that drew a lot of attention from around the world. She was born in Oldham, England, like I said, in 1978. So that makes her today 38 years old. Is that right? Yes, that's right. 38 and a half years old. You know, at the time, there was quite a stir about her conception, her miraculous or method of conception. It garnered articles in religious and medical journals, and her parents even received hate mail over it. That's hard for us to believe, but, you know, that stuff still passes around, right? But it made her parents extremely wealthy, at the same time creating a great deal of debate. It reminds me of another birthright, a birth that happened 2,000 years ago, one that we still remember today on Christmas Day, the birth of Jesus, and we remember him today for the miraculous method of his conception and the way he entered the world. In fact, more miraculous than Louise Brown. But I'm interested today in why we should reflect on this birthday boy. Why should he garner our attention after all these years, 2,000 years later? Why are we still celebrating his birthday and not someone else's? And I think that's a relevant question that we would need to ask today, and I think we have an answer. Long before, many months before even the first Christmas took place, a virgin by the name of Mary was visited by an angel. And the angel actually said why this boy was going to be special. So I want you to look, or if you don't have a text of Scripture, you can look at the screen or look in your Bible at Luke chapter 1. I'm reading verses 30 through 33. The Bible says, "The angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end." In meditating on these verses earlier this month, I came to the conclusion that there are at least two reasons from this passage why we ought to think of this birthday boy as being extra special. And I want to enumerate them this way for you. We want to first talk about his name, and then we want to talk about his fame. So, name and fame. All right, stay with me today. We want to talk first about, consider his name. This is what the angel focused on when he spoke to Mary. He said, "You shall call his name Jesus." Did you see that in verse 31? "You shall call his name Jesus." Mary wasn't the only one that got the message. When the angel again appeared to Joseph some months later, after Mary is very much pregnant and obvious to the community that a baby is going to be born to her, the word comes to Joseph, "She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus." Now, we know they both got the message. Because you know what happened just a few months later when the baby was finally born? And they presented the baby 8 days after he was born in the temple. They got it right when they agreed together to call his name Jesus. Let's see that in Luke chapter 2, verses 21. "And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb." Now, this is interesting to me because, you know, picking names is just kind of part of human nature. If it's a little girl who's holding a baby doll on Christmas morning, you know, it isn't long before the baby gets a name. We had a little puppy dog, not a real dog,
a pretend puppy in our house today for Christmas. And it wasn't long before the dog had a name. We like to name things. Hey, and it's not just the kids. Boy, there are some guys that like their classic car so much that they've tagged it with a special name. Or there's a motorboat floating on a lake somewhere with a little name like Queen Anne or Sister Sue or something. We like to name things. Hey, and that's true of us as parents. When we like to pick out the names of our kids. And we find that challenging. I think most parents enjoy picking the name of their kids. Maybe you stressed out about it. Did you know the Wickens, when they had their baby just about, 3.5 months ago? They really had a time. They didn't name the baby till within like 24 hours of its birth. That's a little bit too narrow of a window for me. We were planning out months in advance. We'd get the books out. We read them. At that time, we had the internet. Maybe you didn't have that opportunity. We're searching names. And she's looking up at all the meanings of the names. I'm trying to concentrate on how do they sound. And I wanted to make sure that my kids didn't end up with an odd initial. Like, you know, with the last name G, I couldn't name a kid first name P, second letter I. That just wouldn't work well for my... So you got to work out all those things. I wasn't going to have a Paul Ephraim or a Paul Ian. That just wouldn't work for my... You know what I mean? You have to go through all, how does it sound? How does it fit with the letters? All right? How does it identify with the heritage and ancestry of the family? Is so-and-so going to be offended if this child is not named after them? You talk about stress, about naming people. Anyway, by the time our kids were born, my first son was born, we had already picked out six names. Three girl names and three boy names. So we were ready to go. And we were just fine. We used up all those names with the third boy. And then we found out we were having another boy. Then it was back to the drawing board again. But you know, when we named our fourth boy, part of the reason we picked the name that we did is because the name not only sounded good to me, but had meaning. Matthew means gift of God. And we wanted to know that he wasn't just the fourth one down, but he really was a gift of God to us. You know, God seems to focus on names too. God seems to like names too, not just how they sound, but what they mean. And the reason that he picked Jesus is because of what the name means. God, the Heavenly Father, got to pick his name. And so what do we know about Jesus? We know Jesus was a very common name. It's the Greek form of an Old Testament name, which you all know. In fact, my first son's name is Joshua. It comes from the conjunction of the verb to save in Hebrew and the Old Testament name of God, Jehovah. It means Jeho, part of God's name, saves. So you might even see some Old Testament names, Jehoahash or Jehoshua. Those are the same form, but we've just shortened it down to Joshua. And it means Jehovah saves or Jehovah will save. The idea here is that he is the one who will save his people. Not accidental. The name was deliberate. It was planned out from the beginning of time because God wanted to send a message about his name. He is the God who will save. He is Jesus. And you know what? When the angel spoke to Joseph a few months later after the first message to Mary, we're reminded in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. Is that verse coming up now, Joshua? Oh, it's not there. I think it's on the former screen. And it says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." God wanted you to know when you celebrate Christmas every year, don't forget the birthday boy's name is Jesus, and it means God saves. God can deliver you. God wants to deliver every person. And according to the Bible, the greatest deliverance we need is from the bondage of sin, and Jesus came to address that need. But that's not all. Matthew's gospel also tells us that his name should be called Emmanuel, which is letter B, Emmanuel. This name also has meaning. In fact, the text tells us in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and ye shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. So it wasn't just the fact that Jesus came to save. Jesus also came to show. He came to show us what God was like by being God with us. So I have an idea now. You have an idea of who God is because you see him in the face of Jesus Christ. In order to save us, Jesus had to be with us. And this is exactly what God did. He sent his own son to be with us so that he could save us. On March 5th, 1994, Deputy Sheriff Lloyd Prescott was teaching a class to police officers in the Salt Lake City Library. And while he was teaching, he had stepped out between sessions into the hallway of the library and at that time spotted a gunman herding 10 hostages toward one of the rooms. With a moment of quick insight, Prescott joined the herd of hostages because he was dressed in plain street clothes and walked into the room with the hostages as the 11th hostage in the room. Some time transpired, and afterwards, the gunman started to set up an order by which he would begin executing the hostages in the room. At that point, a scuffle ensued between Officer Prescott and the gunman, and in self-defense, Officer Prescott shot and killed the assailant, and all 10 of the other hostages were unharmed. He has been dubbed a hero, and rightly so. He put himself in harm's way to rescue people who would otherwise be hurt. And the message that God would want you to get here is that Jesus came down, God came down in plain street clothes, put himself in harm's way so that he could take care of your punishment on the cross so that you might walk away a free man or a free woman. Jesus is God with us, dressed in plain street clothes to save us in a greater way than Officer Prescott could have ever done. So God did step out of heaven. He did come to earth to be with you in order to save you. Now let me ask you a question. Are you part of this plan? I'm not asking if you go to church. I'm not asking if you know God and you know how to pray. I'm asking if you know for sure that God's Son has saved you from your sins. You know, nobody can know that except you. I can't know that about you. You can't know that about me. All you can do is know that before God. And you can know that. If you are genuinely saved by God, there will have been a time in your life when you invited God to do that. God doesn't kick down the door. He doesn't barrel people over. He knocks at your door and he invites you to open it and let him in. Has there been a time when you invited Jesus into your life to forgive your sins? I'm not talking if you grew up in church. I'm not talking if you've memorized Bible verses. I'm not talking if you're trying to live by the golden rule. I'm talking about, have you ever had a conversation with God where you opened the door and said, yes, Jesus, I want you into my life. Please forgive me for my sins. I want you to save me. Now, I've done that. And I would recommend to you, the birthday boy, to do the same for you today if that's never happened. But you've got to invite him in. Don't let him stand on the outside. It's cold outside anyway today. Invite him in. Invite him into your heart. Invite him into your life. And he will transform you. He will save you from the biggest problem we all have. The fact that we've offended God by the sins that we've committed. Christmas isn't really Christmas until you understand the birthday boy is your Savior. Hey, but that's not all. I've got great news for you today. All right? When Mary was told by the angel that she would have a son, she was told two things. First, I want you to name him Jesus. Why? Because he is Jehovah who comes to live with you to save you. And then I want you to notice, secondly, in verse number 32 of Luke's gospel, it says, he shall be great. We're ready for that verse. Luke 1:32. He shall be great. I think most parents have aspirations for their kids to be great. You know, none of you set up thinking, how can I raise a deadbeat? That never occurs to you, right? You want your kids to go further than you did. You want them to excel. That's natural, and that's good. Let's say that you're standing in the nursery with another parent. Maybe it's a new mom or dad, and they look over at their child, and then they look at you, and they say to you, you know, my baby's going to be famous one day. My baby's going to be president, going to be a pro athlete, going to be a movie star. I just know it. Now, you might take it in and with your good manners hold your tongue, but you would just all be a little flabbergasted if somebody said that about a baby. Because babies are a long way away from fame, a long way away. And there's a lot of mileage and bridges to cross before a baby becomes famous. Reminds me of a story I heard recently. It was about a little boy and his 7-year-old sister. And they were playing dress up. Have you heard about this one? They're playing dress up and they left the house and they went over to the neighbor lady's house. They had a relationship, so it was fine. When they knocked at the door, the older of the two, the girl spoke up and said, "Hello, this is the president and the first lady here to see you, ma'am." And the lady, playing along with their charade that day, invited them both into the house for lemonade and cookies. So they sat down at the table and she shared some lemonade and cookies with the children. And about the time they finished their first glass of lemonade, the lady of the house said, "Would you like another glass of lemonade?" And the little girl piped up and she said, "I'm sorry, we can't stay. Mr. President just wet his pants." That's cute, but babies are not famous. Babies are not president. We don't talk about babies being great. We wait for greatness to develop in their life. But now, God wants you to know up front, even before the birth of this son, he's destined for greatness. In fact, he's going to be called great, and it's explained this way. He's going to be the son of the highest. He will sit on the throne of his father, David, and he will reign. In fact, let's enumerate the categories of his greatness that are identified in this text. He will be given the throne of his father, David. This is the throne of Jerusalem that belongs to the sons of David, promised all the way back in 2 Samuel chapter number 7. He's going to reign, and verse number 33 goes on to say he will have a kingdom. Now, when I read somebody is going to have a throne, he's going to reign, and he's going to have a kingdom, ding, 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 that is all royal language. His destiny is he's going to sit on a throne. That is the testimony about Jesus. And you know what? It's still unfulfilled. When Jesus first came, he came as a savior. We didn't see his greatness. The Jews wanted him to be king, but he refused. Instead, he chose a cross and a crown of thorns. But he's coming again, according to the Bible. And when he comes again, he's going to take a different kind of crown. And he's going to take a scepter in his hand. And he's going to rule the world with a rod of iron. And the scripture says, of his kingdom, there's going to be no end. So when you think about the birthday boy, I want you to think, first of all, that he is your savior. That's what his name means. But I want you to think, too, that he's a king. He's not just a silly, fuzzy little baby in a manger that we have an excuse to trade gifts among ourselves with on Christmas. This baby is destined to be king. You know, and I'm a Christian, and I believe the Bible. That doesn't mean I believe myths and fairy tales. I believe the Bible because the Bible isn't myth. It's full of promises. And I know it's full of promises because God's promised and God's fulfilled his promises. But there's one promise that hasn't yet been fulfilled. Jesus isn't king yet, but he's going to be. And when he comes, he's going to rule forever. And when I get to Christmas as a Christian, I understand that Jesus isn't only my savior. He is my king. And I need to worship and I need to celebrate in faith that the promise will be fulfilled and that Jesus will again reign on the earth just as it was told of me in the scriptures. How long is Jesus going to reign? The text says, he shall reign forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Now that is an unusual kind of king. I want you to think about royalty for a minute, and I want you to think about reigning forever. I want you to think in terms of Queen Elizabeth II. She took the throne February 6, 1942. Her coronation wasn't until the following year, but she's actually been seated on the throne of England since 1942. In 2015, she surpassed Queen Victoria as the longest-lived British monarch in history. When February 6th passed, which is just about a month, a little over a month away, she will have been on the throne for 65 years. This really is unprecedented. This is really pretty amazing. And it really is even more amazing when you know a little bit about her story. My family watched a documentary on her but a couple months ago. Do you realize that she wasn't even in line to be queen? Her uncle, Edward VIII, was on the throne when he met a beautiful Hollywood actress and decided the actress was worth more than the throne because she had been married twice or had been divorced. Royal family looked down on it, so he had to choose the woman or the throne, and he took the woman and left the throne. He abdicated 1936, putting his younger brother George on the throne. George, whom we know as King George VI, had an eldest daughter named Elizabeth. She went from being just in the royal family somewhere to being the heir apparent. And when her father died of lung issues, I believe it was lung cancer, in the 1940s, she took the throne. An amazing backdoor approach. Greatness wasn't anticipated from birth, but it ended up being hers, and now she's been on the throne for 65 years. Amazing story, but you know what? As amazing as her reign is, she isn't going to reign forever. One day it's going to come to an end. But there is coming a king who, when he sits on the throne, he's going to be on that throne forever and ever. And he's never going to die. In fact, if you're part of his kingdom, he says, you will never die. This is an amazing king. And when we come to Christmas as Christians, we need to be hoping. We need to be anticipating. We need to be worshiping in light of the fact that the babe in the manger really is the king of the world. He may not have the throne to which he's destined today. He's not seated in Jerusalem. But there is a throne he'd like to have. And it's the throne of your heart. Does Jesus rule your life? Or is he just an ornament on your life? There's a big difference. Is Jesus calling the shots in your life? Is he directing your activities? Are you choosing to live his way? It's one thing to call Jesus a Savior. It's quite another to call him your King. Interestingly, this week, our family had a birthday boy. One of our boys turned 12 this week. Amazing. Andrew, in case you're wondering which one in the line I'm talking about. We had a birthday celebration, had a birthday party for him at the park with some of his friends. We had special food that day, we games. I was asking him about his day the day after his birthday. How'd it go? Did you like your birthday? He said, oh yeah, it was great. Loved the party with my friends. Loved eating two big bowls of ice cream. Now that really is a treat because they normally don't get ice cream every day, let alone two bowls in the same day. That was a good day. He told me he liked especially one of the presents that he got. But then he lamented that it's all over and my favorite day of the year isn't going to come around for a whole nother year. You know how that is. We like special days to last. The same is true of Christmas. Christmas will be here today and gone tomorrow. But before it's over, I want to ask you, what have you done with the birthday boy? Have you made him your Savior? Have you invited him into your life to forgive your sins and to make you right with God? Is he your king? Is he seated on the throne? Or maybe that's what you need to ask the birthday to do for you today. Before the day is over, do this. What will you do with Jesus? One more click, please. What will you do with Jesus? This is your opportunity. This is the birthday boy. Don't let him hang. Do something with Jesus before the day is over. Shall we pray? Father, thank you.